for 411 Deuce Odd AC Deuce. We're unloading into a dude's face on Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're back. Another week.
Here we are.
Another one of these. How you guys been?
Another one of these. You say it like it's a turd.
I've got a turd again. I say it like it's a chore. I'm excited when I got a turd again.
Are you? You're not really excited about turding.
I say, wee. Guys, I'll be right back. How you been?
Good.
It's cool. Thanks, guys. So, I'm Zach, and I'll be doing a podcast by myself tonight, apparently.
It's been a strange couple of days, I guess.
We saw Indie Game the Movie.
Yeah, we did. We saw Indie Game the Movie.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah, it was, actually.
It made me like Edmund McMillan even more and like Phil Fish less than the zero that I liked him when I didn't know anything about him at all. But it was...
Who is Phil Fish?
Fez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was brave, I guess.
What, being featured in the film?
Yeah, him allowing, like, him watching it and then allowing it to go out like that. He said some mean things. He said some flip-outy shit.
Yeah.
He was flipping his shit, like, you know, most of the time.
It was really interesting to see somebody just kind of collapsing under the weight of pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever, it's not the way that I deal with stress.
Right, by talking about how you're going to murder someone and saying you're going to kill yourself. And
Yeah.
That's not the way I deal with stress either.
It's interesting, though.
Sometimes I will hit a cardboard box with a golf club.
Yeah.
Although I haven't done that in a long time.
Did you used to do that?
Yeah, I used to get a golf club and a cardboard box and just hit it.
Did you own a golf club?
Did you write a PC load letter on it?
I thought you were going to ask. Zach, you were too poor to have a cardboard box. It was my house.
Zach, your house.
Yeah. I always got mad. I always got in trouble with my roommates. Oh, man. Now our wall has golf club-sized holes in it. Yeah. But we saw that, and we went out and had some dinner after that movie. That was pretty cool. Yeah,
good story.
It's a great story. Well, I'm struggling.
You're having a hard time.
Carry this by myself.
Yeah.
You guys just staring at me like sheep. That was a cow noise.
It wasn't deliberately a cow noise. Oh, okay. I didn't want to do a sheep noise because that would be too obvious.
You were chewing your cud.
Yeah.
Have you guys done anything interesting since the last time we did one of these shows?
Not really. I've been working.
No, read a bunch of comic books.
What kind of comic books?
I read through all of Vertigo Comics' Lucifer series. There was like a Sandman spinoff. I read some other stuff I don't really remember. Oh, I read all of Death Note again.
Nothing. That's like manga, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing really interesting to talk
about. They
made
that into a series of films.
Yeah, I heard about that. I've never seen any of them.
It looked odd when I saw it last.
Death Note is so... It's mainly people thinking about how they're going to trick other people. There's not a lot of action in it, so I don't know how it would translate to a movie.
A lot of voiceovers?
Yeah, maybe. A lot of voiceovers with like tight close-up shots of people's eyes all narrowed and evil-looking. That would basically be the entire movie.
Riff, don't be a racist.
How about you? What have you been up to besides Nothing. Going to dinner?
I just watched that movie. I went to lunch once, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, just it was pretty good. I ate 4 Cadbury cream eggs.
Where did you go to get that for lunch?
The grocery store.
Oh. I thought you went to some sort of chocolate farm.
Cadbury restaurant. Yeah,
I was like, all right, guys, I need to watch my figure. I'd like a salad with 4 Cadbury cream eggs on it. And they did it. They obliged. I'm like,
that's pretty obliging.
Yeah. This is the best Kentucky Fried Chicken ever. Yeah.
I started reading The Dark is Rising again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's like juvenile fiction, but it's from like the 80s.
Young adult fiction.
That's what I meant.
Susan Cooper.
It's like the fart pooped out of boner. That's how it starts.
Yeah.
Good old Dr. Seuss.
Yeah? Is it like, it's like a fantasy series?
Yeah. I mean, I think she's British. And it's like vaguely Arthurian sort of reimagining kind of thing, but in modern times or quasi-modern times. It's neat. It's good. Have you never read it at all? Yeah, it's neat. It's about kids. And what do you want from me? Like, it's been years since I've read it, and so I'm rereading it, and I don't remember a lot of this stuff. There's like some old ones and
some old kids.
Well, no, like people that have been
like
around
in Cocoon,
fighting off the dark, you know, because it's rising.
Okay. And how long has the dark been rising?
Well, 5,000 years.
It's always rising.
No, no, it isn't always rising. That's like.
Is the dark named Mr. Mojo?
No.
Is the dark is rising an anagram of the author of the dark is rising's name?
No.
Okay.
Did you ever get the magic card that was Ninevrival's disc?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I think that one was fairly common.
Yeah.
And stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like.
Wasn't as stupid as the Chaos Orb.
That one was cool.
It was cool, but it was dumb.
I don't like it when the names of things are other things backwards.
Mm.
Sure.
Like the main city they made in EverQuest, the main city is named Kanos, which is Sony EQ backwards.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah. Which just seems like you wouldn't do that, right? It's like, how little did you care about the world that you were building if you needed to build that in your capital city? You know? Yeah.
I mean, maybe they thought they were being extremely clever. Right?
Do you think anybody puts something in that's a name backwards and thinks they're being extremely clever?
Yeah.
I guess in a game that was made by babies. Did you guys ever play that MMO that was made by babies?
The one with the capital city named Oog?
Yes. Klim.
Stanley Yelnats was...
Stupid? Stupid.
You didn't like that?
I do not. I did not.
Huh. All right.
I continue to not. Yeah. The Eureka Bakery? That is not clever. Race cars? Hate them. Baby MMO. You can't really move around a lot because, you know, it's babies and they don't know. They're like, they have no idea. You sort of just turn over.
Your level 30 mount is a rocking horse that makes your speed even slower.
Yeah, it's just still zero.
How do you level to 30 if you can't move? You have to wait for stuff to come to you.
Yeah, you emote cry and wait for something to show up.
You learn object permanence from looking at some sort of mobile. You get people to bring you stuff by yelling into the baby monitor.
They bring it to you from Mobile, Alabama. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm not proud of that one.
You know, I mean, babies these days have cell phones and iPads and shit, so there's all kinds of stuff. It's basically the MMO.
Pizza.
The MMO is a PC game, but you're just sitting in a crib playing an MMO on an iPad.
Yes.
That's the game.
Yeah, Order in Chaos, I think, is the one.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's cool. Have you guys been playing any video games other than this baby MMO?
Yeah, played no big names, but I played a bunch of iPad stuff.
Yeah, what'd you play?
Last week when you were talking about how you felt old and should be playing Mahjong, that reminded me of how much I liked Mahjong.
Oh.
So I went and located probably what may be the only iPad app that is the actual game of Mahjong instead of pair matching solitaire and is also with text in English. And played a few rounds of that.
How does Mahjong work?
For people that are interested, I can look up here and see what the name of it is. It is...
It's like multiplayer, right?
Yeah, it's a four-player game.
It's a gambling game.
Yeah, it's like... It's a bit like Gin Rummy. You're trying to make... Like, the tiles are of suits and then numbers within that suit, so you're trying to make melds in the same way you do with Gin Rummy.
Okay.
But the scoring is really elaborate and complicated, and I'm not actually sure I even understand it all. But it's a pretty good game if you like that sort of game.
Are you playing versus the computer or versus other people?
Yes, versus the computer. The app is called Mahjong MXL, and that's what it says underneath the app anyway. I don't know if it has a longer title than that in the App Store.
Is that Mahjong Mother Extra Large?
Yes.
So M, when you see an M, you think that stands for mother?
Well, in any kind of... app name or username, yeah.
It's like when you were reading alt sex stories. They always had that mother, father designation at the end.
Yeah.
And then clown penis. You don't remember Gustav the Clown?
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Gustav I tried to forget.
Clown penis, pine sol. Best alt sex story ever.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's see. What else?
What else have you been playing?
What else have I been playing? I played some Incobado, which is pretty good.
What's that?
It is a 2D side scroller, sort of, well, when I say scroller, you're on planets, so it's like a 2D Mario Galaxy where you can walk all around this two-dimensional world. And it is mainly different sorts of puzzles. You're trying to collect bits of sunlight so that the lonely, hungry sun that is following you around, when he eats enough of them, it will open the next gate to the next world. And so it's like Switch puzzles.
Is Lonely Hungry Sun the name of the developer of the game?
I don't know. Probably. Sure. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. So yeah, that's pretty good. Played some, Jeff Vogel, the Spiderware software guy, put out a remake of his first game, Avernum, for the iPad. So okay. Played a little of that. That's quite good.
Is this on your brand new iPad?
Yes. I don't know. I imagine that runs on any iPad. I don't know for certain.
I mean, it's a fairly old PC game, so yeah. I can't think it would be that taxing. The only one of those that I ever played for more than 5 minutes was the first Gene Forge.
I remember that
which
one.
Seemed
that
pretty
was a
cool.
Good one.
But it's those are. I really like that he's making those, and I love that he's making a living off of it. But I'm not. They're just not my kind of thing.
I enjoy them. I don't know that I've ever finished an entire one. They're very long.
Yeah. That tactical combat just.
Yeah, you don't like that?
Nah, I really don't. Hmm. That's why I can't ever really play Fallout.
I'm okay with it. It gets a little repetitive, but I enjoy.
That's my problem with like tactical combat or the Final Fantasy stuff. Hmm. Is that it just always seems to be the same.
I enjoy having the time to think about what I want my moves to be. You know.
Sure.
Whereas,
but do you find yourself actually thinking
with action-based combat? I find myself.
Do you find yourself thinking, or do you find yourself finding one particular pattern and just always sticking to it?
That's the problem with most of these games is, I mean, the developer has to make the effort to make
it meaningful.
To make it meaningful and to have, you know, have fights that are not just, okay, this is another swarm of rats.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's just not, like, looking at a grid, seeing a number that's how many spaces I can move and seeing a number that's how many spaces the enemy can move or just having to guess how many spaces the enemy can move or, like, let him move once and then reload or whatever and, like, figure out exactly which square I need to stand on so that I'll get a free shot against him. Or, like, just so not fun to me.
If done well, it has a real interestingly puzzly aspect, or it can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to hit a button.
You don't like a lot of math.
Sword.
Yeah,
I don't.
Because it was, what was that game? The dungeon game that was basically a convoluted math puzzle?
Yeah.
Desktop Dungeons.
Desktop Dungeons, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
I like that, but once it gets hard, I just lose interest.
Is it that once it gets hard or
that's
once
the
you...
the same thing with porn.
Once you start thinking about it in a deeper way, you get bored with it or whatever.
Yeah, well, I just don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy doing a bunch of arithmetic in my head.
But you could play it and just not be optimal and just have fun.
Yeah, but then you eventually can't make any progress without you know, I mean, it's like, it's a game that I played until it got to the point where making progress wasn't any fun to me.
I see.
You know, like chess, for instance. Like, to get better at chess, I think I have to start memorizing, you know, opening books and stuff, and I just don't want to.
Gambits.
Yeah. Rogues.
Nightcrawlers.
Yeah, no, that was better. That was better. Good job. is that it?
Probably the only other one of note that I played was Waking Mars, which is pretty good. It's sort of Metroid-y. You're an astronaut who's exploring the caves inside Mars, and you find various Martian plant life, and you get the seeds, and then you can plant them in patches of fertile soil, and they grow into new plants, so you get new seeds, and different plants have different effects on other plants, and eventually you find like mobile plants that create more of them when you feed
their
them seeds, and then there are carnivorous plants that eat those plants, and so each area of the game you're trying to work out the pattern in which you can grow enough plant life that the biomass like overloads the door plant that lets you into the next section of the cavern. Yeah. So it's sort of Metroid-y, but it's mellow.
Are you a dude?
Yeah, you're a guy walking around. You don't have a gun or anything.
Right, okay, so but you have to move around.
Until you make the gun plant.
It's not like you click on a patch of soil and a seed plant's there.
Right,
it's like
no,
you got to walk over to it.
You move around and then you pull a seed out of your inventory and drag to make the trajectory and then throw your seed at the three.
So it's basically committing the sin of Onan on Mars.
On Mars.
It would be cool if it was like an incredible, like it was an incredible journey. What's that thing called? The Amazing Race? Incredible Journey?
Incredible Machine?
Fantastic Voyage? Yeah, what? Fantastic Voyage and Veronica Mars, where you are a tiny microscopic submarine inside Veronica Mars trying to cure her sleeping sickness.
Oh, okay.
What else?
That was about it. There are some ones that I didn't like and threw away pretty quick. There's one called Battle Loot Adventure, which is basically Final Fantasy combat with no story and sort of rock paper scissors combat mechanics.
Rock paper axe.
And it's cute, but not very interesting. The combat got old really fast, so I can't really recommend that. There's one called King Caching, fantasy adventure, except the fights are all slot machine reels, and so you assign your dudes onto the first reel and the weapons onto the second reel, and the monsters are all on the third reel, and depending on what combinations you roll, you do more or less damage to the thing you're fighting.
Jenny was getting really into that, wasn't she?
Yeah,
it seems like a kind of thing that could be fun or could be really dumb.
It held my attention for longer than it probably should have, but I don't see myself going back to it.
I mean, it has that sort of slot machine aspect.
Yeah, exactly.
To it. I like that Robotech game. I just was like, "Fuck this game."
I have not played it in a long time, but I haven't deleted it or put it somewhere else.
Sword and Poker though was really good.
Sword and Poker,
but there was a lot of strategy to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas the slot machine thing was practically no strategy. I mean, there is a little bit, but not.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's
this
discouraging.
You can time your button push to try and get the result you want to come up on the
Well,
reel,
in Robotech, you can always get the first one.
Almost always, yeah. I mean, you'd screw up sometimes, but yeah.
That was about it.
What about you, Kevin?
I played several different things. I read a New York Times article about stupid games. Which was just basically talking about sort of the phenomenon of games. And it was interesting reading an article from someone who's basically a layman who didn't really, wasn't a part of the gaming world, didn't really know games and stuff like that, and was just sort of talking to them to an audience that also didn't really know much about games. And so he in New York was trying to find somebody who was making sort of more interesting things that took sort of the stupid, like took stupid games and made them into something slightly more interesting. So that he talked to this guy, Zach Gage, who has some iOS games. And so I decided to download those and play
that
those.
Sounds like a fighting game character.
Zach Gage. Yeah. So he has a game called...
It's like a bad fictional character name because it's kind of hard to say.
Zach Gage?
Mm. Yeah. The two consonants.
Kuga.
Kuga. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why Kegel exercises are so effective, is because they're hard to do.
I see.
I didn't say. Kuga exercises.
Yeah.
So you just walk around going, Kuga.
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 Kuga. That's why Sipple and Ollie were so strong.
So he had a game called Unify, which was, I don't exactly know how to describe it. There are blocks on the left and the right side of the screen, and you can sort of move them and they come in to the middle, and it's like a match four in that way. You have a lot of control over where stuff goes. Starts out with just black and white, and then it starts adding colors.
I've got a match four. Your face, your face, and my ass.
I see.
Kaguh.
The gameplay was not amazing. It was sort of an interesting concept, but not great. But then he had a game called Spell Tower, which was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. I thought that name sounded familiar, and it's because I played a bunch of Spell Tower.
Yeah. And he just added, just today, he added multiplayer, like, within the same room to that, which I have not yet tried.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we should.
Is that an iPhone one? Is that up for? Cool.
I think it's also on the iPad. It's super fucking hard, though.
It's pretty hard.
So a video
the puzzle mode is tricky because I always end up with this problem where the edge
stacks pile
very
up.
High.
Yeah, and then you just end up with like a column that is like VXWXV.
Or relatively common letters that are...
You have to make a nine-letter word with them or
I've
something.
I've never had more than six.
Yeah,
but...
No, I haven't either. I never was that good at it, but...
It was interesting. I don't know that I would play it a bunch, but he was trying to like, his contention was that a lot of the word games that are out there ended up just being like stupid anagramming games.
Yeah. This one, I think the possibility space, because
it's really large.
Yeah.
This isn't the one I was
You're making words boggle style, but on a massive grid.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the same thing where I liked Bookworm. Because putting them on hex tiles made it dramatically reduced the sort of confusing things that didn't immediately jump out at you.
Hmm.
Like the diagonal relationships between the letters are really hard for me to conceptualize.
So having eight neighbors is much harder than having six.
Having
neighbors?
Eight neighbors because four of them don't read as neighbors
because
they're diagonal, and it's just because I'm not used to thinking about it that way. Because I never really played Boggle.
I think something came out recently that's like this, except three-dimensional.
Meh.
That would be rough.
Where the blocks explode and then you see more letters underneath them.
You get a lot of extra points for really long words in this game.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to try the multiplayer, because that game's pretty good. That's Spell Tower.
Yeah. And then because we went and saw Indie Game, the movie, the book, the joke... I went and I actually installed Super Meat Boy, which I had paid for on probably in some humble indie bundle at some point, and played that for about half an hour today, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah,
I want to go back and play that some more.
I might try it. I
you might hate it.
Yeah, I get frustrated very quickly by platforming games, but I've heard that the speed at which you respawn
is instantaneous.
Oh,
yeah,
it's like, did you ever play N Plus?
No, but I played VVVVVV.
And okay. that didn't piss you off?
And that didn't piss me off.
Oh, this might be okay.
That definitely the same sensibilities as that.
This,
okay.
This,
like, it's brutally hard, but you just immediately try again, right?
Yeah.
So it's...
And the... I did not find the first levels challenging at all. Like, I mean, the first world is probably super easy, but they all have a time limit, which if you get under the time, you get an A+ for that level. And then there are hidden things in the levels to find sometimes. Mm. So that's already kept my interest higher than I think it would have been otherwise.
I read that when you complete a level, you get to see
all the ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
That sounds pretty fun.
It's a bunch of really cool stuff. I unlocked like a warp zone that did like turn me into like a little Mario style game. Like within the first five levels, there was already some sort of like, it's the whole game is pretty homage to earlier video gamey kind of thing. And those are really hard. The Mario style level ones were just,
those are
just
like an optional mini game kind of thing, or
yeah, like you just like there's one of the hidden things was a warp zone, which took you to this other thing. Hmm. So it's neat, you know. And then I've been my girlfriend's been playing this game called Dragon Veil on her iPad, which is kind of like, you know, Farmville, Castleville kind of stuff,
or Pocket Frogs.
I mean, it's one of these. It's
a while.
It's a how do you describe it? It's like a little breeding game where you get dragons and then you build them little habitats and you then can breed dragons of different types and they will have offspring, which you can then put in different habitats and breed them with other stuff. And there's like, I don't know, 50 different kinds of dragons.
So like chocobo breeding from
maybe
the old Final Fantasy.
Yeah. So the game is free, but it is one of the top 10 paid apps right now because, you know, it's got like a bunch of in-game currency that you can buy for real cash. And so I was talking to her. I was like, so tell me why this is compelling. And she said, well, you know, it's a fun game. And I was like, okay, well, so what's fun about it? And she's like, well, it's not really fun. The dragons are really cute. You know, it's really satisfying to breed them and get a new kind of dragon. It's, you know, it's fun arranging the stuff and making the, like your little floating islands kind of attractive and interesting to like look at and stuff. And so I was like, okay, this is like a very much like kind of, that's gotta be some of the same appeal for Farmville, like having interesting looking farms and making it
or sort Animal of Crossing or neat. The Sims yeah. or yeah. whatever.
And then, now let me find that quote that she said. Well, so she was also talking about like how she wasn't probably going to give them money, but if she did, that would be fine, right? Because it's not evil to support these people that are providing you with this free game, right? You know, like they're providing you a free game, and it's just cool, right? Like it's not evil, because like you know, I talk about like.
Did she think that she would be evil for giving them money?
No, but like you know, talking about like Zynga as like an evil company or whatever. I think she was both justifying to me and herself why if she did decide to give them some money, it would not be that big a deal. And you know, I don't know. It's definitely, I don't feel like it's evil to give people that are providing you a game, give them some money. Cause that's, you know, how sure. we make yeah. our living. but last night she was kind of frustrated and she said, I might need to get rid of this dragon game. Cause I constantly have these dragons fucking and they aren't producing the dragons I want. which I thought was kind of funny. So she was getting frustrated that she kept getting the same dragon over and over again.
Do you get to watch the dragons fuck?
Not really. That you put them together in the same area and they sort of wander near each other, but there's no like mounting that I saw.
I mean, does the female dragon blow a bunch of eggs onto the ground and then the male dragon beats off on them?
Here's the thing.
The male dragon has sex with a Cadillac.
Some of the dragons
in a wood paneled garage
were pretty clearly gendered in terms of their like phenotype, I guess. Like their appearance was pretty like, oh, this is pretty
female
clearly.
Ones all have bows on their heads.
Well, no, but like I could look at a like a more mature dragon and be like, okay, that's clearly
some of them were wearing
a male or a female
and Birkenstocks instead of bows.
But it didn't discriminate in terms of what you could mate together at all. Like it didn't seem to care what gender they were.
Get in trouble for discriminating like
well
that.
Sure, I'm just like, it just made me really curious about dragon physiology, like how can two dragons regardless of their gender
maybe
produce an egg?
Maybe they're all genderless like slugs.
They all lay eggs. I mean, they're cloaca, right? Like male and female chickens have the same genitalia. It's just that female chickens have eggs that come out of them and male chickens just have like spermatozoa that come out of them.
Okay.
And they reproduce via the cloacal kiss.
That's what it sounds you make like. That sound really attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so besides that.
Also, that's where they poop.
Besides that, the only thing I've been playing is a little more Portaleucis and more Minecraft.
Yeah, I played another couple games of that.
So
it's hard.
Did not pick it up again.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of Minecraft, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't been doing anything real interesting.
I left you a present, which you probably don't want.
Is it a bunch of picks?
No. It's one pick.
Is it one pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a bunch of blaze rods, which you probably don't want. So.
Yeah, I think I don't want them.
Okay. Wait, then
why are you trying to ruin my experience? Why are you spoiling me?
I'm not.
Why don't you cast a million turns of every buff on me?
You should not use them to craft anything. You should just use them instead of getting stressed out about making coal.
Oh.
That's why I gave them to you.
They are a good coal replacement.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. I mean, I guess that's like you lighting my candle. Then I have light for an evening. But if you teach me how to make a candle, then I have light for like a month until I run out of whale. Right? That's how that goes. Teach a man a whale, he'll have light for a month. Buy a man a whale. All right. Yeah.
Whale on a man. You'll make him sore.
Put a man inside a whale. It's too dark to read.
And then you get Pinocchio.
Have you played any Old Republic?
No.
Wow.
No.
You just disappeared.
I did.
From
just
that universe.
Disappear from that universe.
Did you play any Tiny Town?
Tiny Town.
Triple Town.
No. They released an update with a version with a thing that you will like.
Yeah.
Which is it's a smaller grid but with no monkeys or bears.
Oh, no bears.
Yeah. Huh. So you don't. It's not just grass, which is what you really want. I think.
I don't know if that's. I mean, I kind of want that just to see what it would be like. It would probably get boring because you'd probably figure out the optimal pattern.
Yeah.
I played a little of that. I just remembered is why. I
it's
asked.
It being on a smaller grid is just as it's just as tricky.
That game is hard.
Yeah.
Like I got like a chest once and a castle once, and I have no idea how to go about actually planning.
I've gotten pretty good at getting chests out of cathedrals because those
yeah, it's a lot easier but
I had never even thought to try to get stuff out of the rocks.
Yeah, I hadn't either until somebody said something in the forums. There's also a new mode where the middle four squares are replaced with an inaccessible lake just to make it extra hard.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool that they're working on it. They did a thing that I think I don't care about at all on the mobile on the social media version of the game, where you play and then your next game, it just like scoots the camera over and you end up creating like an entire kingdom by looking at all of your old games.
That's kind of neat, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't actually change anything except the presentation, but I was like, that's cool. I kind of wish that I played this on Google Plus instead, but then I was like, No, you don't. No, I do not. I played this HTML5 game that was linked on Play This Thing called Make No Wonder. Which it was... Yes.
Okay.
There is this idea that I think everybody has when they think about what would be a really awesome video game, is a video game where you wake up stranded on a randomly generated desert island, mm-hmm. you know, like they are in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, intelligently designed deserted island.
Right.
Desert island? Deserted island?
Desert. I think it's desert island because you always want to go back for more.
Okay. But you stay there long enough and you'll get diabetes.
Right.
Where, you know, you get some rocks and make a rock house. You get some wood and some...
So it's Minecraft.
Shale and you get a... Well, no.
Okay.
Sort of. What are those Lost in Blue? Did you ever play Lost in Blue?
Yeah.
It's a compelling thing to think about, right? Like having to survive and just make, like, basically build human technology on an individual scale from resources.
Swiss Family Robinson.
Minecraft, yeah, exactly. But Minecraft does that really well and is compelling because of a bunch of other like things that you can do in it, you know? Like Minecraft gets cool because once you figure out the survivability parts of it, it's just about making shit that looks cool.
Yeah.
And like exploring these big, crazy, complicated spaces and then going to hell.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, it's neat that it was an HTML5 game. The interface was sort of poor. It was hard to do things.
It seems like that has not really come to a good place yet, to like handling stuff in HTML5.
I think that it probably could be. I think it's not a matter of the tech not being there. It's a matter of people not having had the time to.
That's kind of what I mean.
To develop frameworks and really learn how to use it.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's in the very early NES days, the Super Mario 1 days, which is like, we made a good game with what we know how to do with this, but not the Super Mario 3 days where it's like, holy shit. I can't believe this is the same console.
Right.
And the same little man with the red hat.
Little mans.
But yeah, so that was kind of interesting. You can make a raft, and there's a crashed plane. You get some wire.
Okay.
I don't know what to do with it. You can make, like, a platform that removes the fog of war from an area around it and stuff. Like, it had some interesting...
Is it survival is the key?
I don't think you can die.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. You can get hungry, and when you get hungry, you just have to wait like 10 seconds every once in a while your little dude passes out and then won't respond to commands for a little while, which that was sort of bullshit.
And then you wake up not hungry?
No, you're still hungry. You just can move 8 more times and then he falls over again or whatever.
So it doesn't kill you?
It just makes the game inconvenient, yeah.
Huh.
That which does not kill us makes our video games very inconvenient. I think it was... the Archduke Franz Ferdinand who said that. that which does not kill us fails to start World War I. and then I played a bunch more Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I am getting better at Mass Effect 3 or if Mass Effect 3
is getting better at you.
Switches into this is obviously being played by a stupid baby mode. So let's... Because, you know, I've gotten to the point where I'll play and I'll sort of kind of understand what's going on, and I almost never can't go through a hallway because I keep jumping back and forth between the cover points on either side of the hallway instead of getting out of cover. I still don't know how to... If there's nobody to shoot, I still don't know how to get across
a chest-high wall without first ducking behind it and then jumping over it.
Okay.
Right? There's no, like, smooth way of hopping over it. I'm getting a little more used to the controls or whatever. I'm still fucking just kind of bewildered by the inventory system, although I've learned it does not make sense to me, but I've concluded that that's because it's badly designed rather than I'm not understanding it. I figured out why I accidentally, regularly would accidentally equip a thing that I had decided not to equip, and it is if you are looking at a weapon in your inventory and then you hit escape to back out of the inventory, it will equip that weapon. Huh. So looking at a thing, deciding not to equip it, and then escaping out equips it.
Because they think they must have thought, "Oh, this is what the person wants to."
So
seems.
So this is basically how the interface works. You've got five equipment slots for five different kinds of guns. You click on one of them, and then it loads in a separate screen off to the right a picture of a gun, and then it says like one of four, right? And then there's left and right arrows that you can use to scroll through the guns and look at their stats, and it will compare them to what you've got equipped.
Okay.
But then to equip it, you click back on the inventory slot with it highlighted in the thing. Or to equip nothing in that slot, you scroll left until it's zero of four, and then click back in the thing to equip the nothing.
Doesn't that consume the entire game?
You need a luck dragon to stop equipping the nothing from destroying you.
Right.
And you also need to remember someone's name, which is also your mom's name.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Moonchild.
that's
what it is.
Moonchild?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That was what he had to figure. That was the fucking secret?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
I keep ending up in these situations where it's like, I will get killed 10 times, and then I will beat that encounter without taking any damage. So I think maybe it's just making it easier for me.
Oh, huh.
Right?
You really don't think it's you getting better. You think it is the game, lowering the bar.
Because I never understand what the fuck is happening. Like, I can't get... But I did finally figure out how to control my squad. I found out that next to your email, there's a little thing that looks like a football play. When you go to your computer, you either click on the envelope or the little football diagram, and the little football diagram has three videos that teach you how the combat controls work. But I still have an ability that I cannot figure out how the fuck to use. It will turn red. The icons turn red if you're highlighting an enemy that you can't use an ability on, and it will turn red sometimes. So I know the ability is fucking there. It's not just like a ghost bullet that I can't actually click on, but I hit the number for it and nothing happens. I hit the number for it and then shoot and nothing happens that I can tell. Triggers the cooldown, but it just does not fire the fucking concussive shot, which the things that kill me all the time are these guys with fucking shields, right? And it's like, okay, they have shields, so either you get behind them or you send one of your squad guys behind them or whatever, and like I figured out ways to deal with it.
Right.
Or, you know, you use the ability of your squad mate that like throws them up into the air and makes them float around or whatever so that you can shoot them. But you also have a thing that's like, this will knock down
shields,
barriered opponents, and I just cannot figure out how to use the fucking ability. Like 20 hours into the game, I cannot figure out how the fuck to fire a concussive shot using my concussive shot ability.
Maybe you have to click it again. You have to click once and then click again or something.
I don't know, man.
Double click.
The other ones? I mean, the thing that slows down time, you just hit the number and it runs. The thing that turns on your ammo power, you run it and then you hit it and then it's there. And it has a little icon on your gun that shows you what kind of ammo you're using. And like,
maybe you're too close to them?
Dude, I don't know.
Okay.
I've tried it all fucking over the place, and I don't understand what's happening with it.
Sure.
Here's something. I don't have any points in concussive shot.
Okay.
But it's on my hotbar. And so maybe I don't actually have it. Maybe that's the trick. There's a bug that it's on my hotbar, because other abilities that I don't have any points in, I don't have on my hotbar.
So that's the only one that you have that doesn't have any points?
I don't know, man. Yes? Maybe?
Yes and?
Yeah. Good joke, Kevin. But I don't know. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun talking to the mans about their space and all that.
Is this your favorite store in the Citadel?
Is what?
Have you hoard yourself out for advertising revenue?
No.
Oh, did you not get that in the second one?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, huh. There are a bunch of the stores in the Citadel. You could go in and they would ask to record Commander Shepard saying how much they love this store and how it's your favorite store in the Citadel.
Hmm.
And you can do that for all of them. So all throughout the Citadel, you hear your voice saying, "I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store in the Citadel."
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm
surprised you didn't see that. It was hilarious.
This says what?
This says that when activated, it fires a single high-powered round that damages the target and can stun it for a few seconds.
Yeah. When activated, does nothing. That's not. Is that what you were hoping to find? Oh yeah, that's a feature. the old concussive shot prank, huh? That's a thing that they.
It actually concusses you, but your character is smart enough not to do that.
Oh, okay. This is the ability that they trained the new guy in as a sort of a coming of age ritual.
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
I mean, it is entirely possible that because I don't have any points in it, it's not actually there.
Yeah, I don't know.
And maybe it's running a zero level concussive shot, which just falls out of the end of your gun without even making any noise. Yeah, I played some of the multiplayer, which was surprisingly not horrible.
Why is that surprising? Why did you just assume it was going to be awful?
Because multiplayer shooters are universally fucking horrible for me.
Even cooperative multiplayer shooters?
No. That's the thing. And because this is cooperative, it's okay.
Okay.
Cooperative, if you're playing it on a low difficulty level where, I mean, I could imagine playing Left 4 Dead and people yelling at me for being retarded.
For shooting them.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
those
guys.
It's not funny anymore.
But yeah, I mean, it was co-op, and I don't know. I played around, and then it was like, watched some experience bars go up and up and up and up, and went from level 1 to level 6. You have to like independently level up each gender, race, class combination, but you level them up pretty quick.
Hmm. What's the cap?
I have no idea. I mean, you start running out of points to put into the abilities that you have.
I see.
I don't know. I'm like at level 10. I'm probably like halfway to maxing those out.
Okay.
I think. Maybe not. But yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's just I guess it's what they call horde mode, where there's just a bunch of, you're in a space and there's a bunch of waves of enemies that come at you.
Alliance.
Yeah. I have less trouble telling enemies from the people on my team in this one, because the people on my team have big names over their heads.
Okay.
So as long as I look at those, I know I probably shouldn't shoot that dude. Not that it would hurt them, but that I would just be wasting bullets. When it comes up, this thing at the end, it shows the medals everybody earned. Everybody else at the top will have like 5 or 6 gold medals, and I will have a single bronze for like, oh, good job, buddy. You also shot a bunch of dudes. Yeah, it's like the 50 assists. I would occasionally like get a dude off by himself. I'd get a dude off. I would occasionally get a dude off by myself quickly. There'd be a dude, and I was the only one shooting at him, and so I would unload 3 clips into his face, and then he would die, and I would get a whole bunch of experience points. Hmm. But mostly, I would be in the process of unloading in a dude's face, and one of my teammates would come up and finish him off, like, super fast. You guys are great. Thanks. I mean, I realize that the reason that I'm getting this back is because of the amount of it that I dish out. So I think you
unload it into a guy's face 30 times, and then a teammate can just do it twice, and he's satisfied.
I think that probably leveling up and getting better guns and stuff is just causing them to do 20 times as much damage as I can do. Right, but it's not. They don't make that clear, right? It's like I almost want to be able to turn on floating numbers, you know, or that ding, 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 ding when you actually hit a guy.
Okay,
like because I'm sure that there is feedback. I have trouble in the single player version of Mass Effect 3. A lot of the time, the health bar that you're seeing is not the health bar for the guy that you're shooting.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know why that is exactly.
Is it the shield that you can't knock down with your concussive
shots? No, it's like a nearby guy. I understand how the health bars work. It's just that, like, pretty frequently I will be shooting a dude and the health bar will just be staying still the entire time that it takes me to kill that dude.
Because
and then when I switch and start shooting another dude, that health bar starts going down.
I see.
And I don't know if that's just like glitchy or me not understanding something, but it has...
Are the health bars not directly floating above their heads or something?
I don't know. No, they're at the top of the screen, right? Oh. So, like...
Okay. Maybe you have, like, target turned on or something?
Yeah, maybe you're shooting the guy that's not the guy you have targeted.
I don't know what it is. I haven't really looked into the, like, gameplay or interface options, just assuming that there wouldn't be any because it's, like, a console port, you know? The multiplayer stuff is a little weird because you get... you earn these points, which then you can buy, like, booster packs of race class unlocks and experience point bonus things mm-hmm. for them and single-use consumables to, like, refill your ammo instantly or refill your health or whatever.
Do those persist across different gameplay sessions?
They do, but I think you might only be able to hold one of each of them or something per game. But you can buy those with those points, or you can buy them with BioWare
cash.
Points. Yeah, which is just getting them for cash, which I can't imagine why you would do. I mean, I could imagine putting in $5 and getting one of the high-end ones just to, like, because you're then guaranteed to get, like a rare-level weapon out of it or something, and then just, like, based on what that weapon is, that's what class I will play, you know, just, like, starting off with that. But I can't imagine, like, actually sticking with this and trying to level up and gather goodies for a character.
Really?
You know, because it's, like, the games last, like, 15 minutes, which is fine. You know, you play 15 minutes worth of shooting at dudes. But, like, 15 minutes 100 times of shooting the same dudes in the same...
It doesn't vary at all?
Base. It does. I mean, but I can't. There can't be that many environments, right? I don't know. It just seems like the fun would wear off if you weren't getting those little injections of story.
There's I saw a really cool Minecraft map that a player had made that was called 1v1 Pit Frenzy.
Yeah.
And so it was competitive.
Seth Bling made that.
Yeah, competitive PvE.
So it was Kid Icarus versus Kid Icarus.
Yeah. And it was like, it seemed like it was really satisfying. It's like, you know, like it spawns monsters and then you knock monsters into pits. You have four separate pits. If you can get a monster into each one of them, then it activates your ability to get a power up, which you can get food or potions, or you can get gear, or you can get you can start spawning more monsters on the opponent's side, and it, like, as you, once you unlock one power up, then it opens up the possibility to get even better power ups and stuff like that. So it's like a neat progressive game. It gets harder and harder for each player over time, and you have sort of limited resources, and it seems like a really clever use, and it's just vanilla Minecraft. It's just, you know, built purely on the tech that's in the base game.
How do they stop, like, if it's just vanilla Minecraft, how do they stop someone else from joining your game and just breaking all of the shit?
I don't know that they can. I don't know how, I mean, I've not actually gone in to try to play this, so I don't know how that works exactly. But yeah, I mean, you could break the walls. I mean, you could cheat. You could bring gear into it.
I mean, maybe
and stuff.
It might be running bucket mods that prevent
possibly
block breaking or something like that.
I mean, it's possible. It's there are servers with spots for up to 500 people, so they've got to have some kind of clever thing that routes you to an arena that isn't being used or whatever. You know, I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Minecraft does, like, a platform for people making these other games is awesome, right? I mean, that's...
Like, this is not what I envisioned it being. I had this vision of it being all these, like...
You making a big fantasy world with puzzles and dungeons filled with monsters and stuff.
Which is what they're eventually going to have available, I think.
I mean,
people are doing that.
I would like that, I think. I mean, if, you know, if they would just, like, let you mod the drop tables for monsters and make new items, like a gold coin that you could then buy stuff from villagers, like, then you could just make, like, an RPG, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would enjoy that.
Sure.
It would be a little bit of a end run around what makes the basic Minecraft experience cool, but being able to do it would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the cleverest of the games allow you to do all of the Minecraft things, but still have them be interesting games.
Yeah,
some of
like
our
the super hostile
Yeah, some of our listeners, I guess yesterday, I didn't even see the thread until today, were playing some Vex, like setting up a server and playing some Vex stuff.
Hmm.
Like collaborative. Or no, I guess they were going to do it last night and then didn't do it, and they've rescheduled till maybe Friday.
Hmm.
So that could be something that they were going to form up into teams. And
those would change a lot with a bunch of people,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Would they?
Yeah, I mean, if you could sort of move in formation and fight off monsters, it'd be a lot easier.
There's an interesting one he did that's actually a competitive one that you're only trying to get three different wool instead of the entire list of colors. Yeah, but you've got two teams on sort of horizontal islands that are mirror images of each other, and you can see your opponents across the gap. But you're not allowed to enter the gap, and so you're free to shoot them with arrows or make TNT cannons or whatever you want to do to try and prevent each other from being the first team to get all three of the wool blocks. It's pretty cool.
Hmm. Well, we've been playing video games.
Yep.
What about the news, Kevin?
Speaking of Minecraft stuff, Notch announced a new hard sci-fi game, Tinned to the Sea.
That sounds pretty interesting. He's like, what, modeled an entire processor?
16-bit computer.
Yeah, a computer that you can fully program yourself in their spaceship.
I'm curious whether this is going to have mass appeal. Because like, I think one of the things that he was really excited about with Minecraft was the fact that it was like a Turing-complete game. But I feel like the number of people that actually take advantage of that are pretty small.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I'm curious, a game that has that as a central conceit, I don't know how that's going
to
play out.
I mean, I don't think that he's going to make it so you have to learn how to program this thing in order to play it.
That is how it was described to me.
Hmm.
If you want to mine an asteroid, you program your computer to go mine the asteroid.
Well, probably it will come with
basic
a
programs.
selection of scripts you can run. And then
like he was talking about like there being
you can learn how to modify.
There's like a player economy of scripts and stuff. Potentially,
yeah,
you know, which is kind of a crazy idea.
Yeah,
but that, I mean, it could be super awesome, and I don't want to naysay anything, it being just this sort of super nebulous thing at this point. But you know,
it's a cool conceit though that like, you know, spaceman's from the 90s.
Oh yeah,
like or the late 80s,
transported
forward in time by an accident.
Yeah.
So it's what 16 OX10 is 16 to the speed of light.
Because
that's a hex number, right?
Yeah.
Well, sure. That's the idea, I guess. But he said the name of the game is Tinned to the Sea.
Hmm.
So
that seems like a game about you and nine other dudes going on a boat ride.
Yeah.
Or you're Neptune, and your job is to tend to the sea.
Tend to the
take
sea.
Care of, you have to sweep the jellyfish.
So then draw
sweep
something.
The jellyfish, Johnny.
I guess I've
all get disqualified.
Jesus. So I guess I'd also been continuing to play Draw Something. I forgot to mention that. And it has gotten 50 million downloads in its first 50 days of existence.
That's almost 100,000 downloads a day.
I know. And that sort of makes it the fastest growing mobile game ever. Produced.
That corresponds with what I saw, which was my girlfriend playing it, and then 4 hours later, everyone else on the fucking earth playing it.
Yeah, I mean, I went from not even knowing about it existing to playing 30 games of it within a day.
Zynga bought it before I got around to even downloading it.
And so that just,
yeah, so that just means I can never play it. I never will.
Legend of Grimlock came out.
Grimrock?
Grimrock, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? I mistypoed that.
That was weird. I had been following that for a really long time.
It looks really cool.
The graphics look really neat.
A Mac version.
Ah, yeah. I wish that they had. I wish that because I mean that would be a great follow up assignment to the games like that we played as assignments before.
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested to see what the modern sensibility has done for that style of game. I'm not really super psyched to play it.
Oh boy, I am.
You know, like having to like have melee in front and casters in back and stuff, like it's just
apparently they
facing matters
puzzliness.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, maybe that would be cool. You know, like it could be awesome, and the graphics look pretty neat. Like it could be really cool, but I'm gonna give it a couple months and see what people say.
You can watch me play it later tonight.
Sure, sure. Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Human Resources.
Resources. It's coming to Mac, finally. It was supposed to come out. I think it was, they said it was going to come out in December or January, and that just didn't happen.
I don't know if I'm interested in it anymore.
Really?
I guess I'll probably play it.
What? It's coming out April 26th.
I mean, I feel like if I had not played Deus Ex and I had only heard the reviews of it,
yeah,
I would have decided not to play it because it was like, oh yeah, it's this awesome game that occasionally has these just total phoned in bullshit boss fights that make it so you just can't, like, the rest of the game for the most part has all this promise of you being able to play it in different ways, but then the boss fights are just like,
nope, you have to kill them.
Sorry. Yeah. You haven't been leveling up your guns? Well, guess you're fucked.
Yeah, the reading the reviews really kind of spoiled my enthusiasm.
It seemed neat. I mean, I have started it twice.
Okay. Did you ever get to one of the boss fights?
No. Okay. No. I did not ever even make it through the first level.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. It did not
grab you the same way?
No, but it's not that I dislike it. I think it's one of those things that eventually I'm going to sit down and play it and get super into it.
Huh.
You know? I need to finish Mass Effect 3 first so I can see what all the complaining is about.
Hmm. There's been a lot of talk about them adding like a director's cut or something to it.
I heard that they're going to do, because I feel
DLC.
Like, yeah, the big part of the complaints were people wanting to know what happens to these various characters that you've encountered, and the ending of the main game really doesn't address any of that. And I guess
just leaves a bunch of stuff hanging.
And that's what they're going to do in the DLC.
It's just address all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
When are we going to get some Skyrim DLC?
This month,
really?
Actually. Well, no, it's not really DLC. It's just 1.5 adds a bunch of stuff.
Oh, right. The kill cams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I think there's more to it. I think there's a lot of stuff going on.
So we'll finally be able to watch in slow motion you hitting a dude in the face with a coffee cup.
Yes.
What, putting a basket over someone's head.
Yeah. If you do that telekinesis spell? Can you watch those objects fly around? That'd be awesome.
Hmm. It just becomes a first person basket coverer.
So in Kickstarter news, Shadowrun Returns launched.
That's a video game?
Yeah.
Yep. Looked interesting. I don't even really know much about it, but I donated to that basically just out of loyalty to the Shadowrun franchise from playing it back in the day.
Is it like action RPG? Is it like, or is it just like a shooter?
It's not first person shooter. I think it's tactical RPG.
I want a Shadowrun game. Well, okay, really what I want is for Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
What is Bloodlines?
It is a first person
Vampire the Masquerade.
Is a first person action RPG.
Okay.
It was sort of like
a first person Planescape Torment kind of, right?
Yeah, it was real talky.
Okay.
But good. It was well written. It was neat. Real buggy. Like, I guess there were some fan patches
horse and
that
buggy?
Dealt with a lot of it. I think
I mean, so Shadowrun is one of my favorite settings ever.
Well, it has everything.
It does, which is awesome. But it was just a really compelling...
Both kinds of dwarf.
Yes. It was just an extremely compelling world. And the idea of it having... it's going to have four different sort of simultaneous spaces going on. Because there's the actual world, there's the digital world, there's the... Like the mystical world,
and the shaman,
the
world.
Astral world.
Yeah.
Well, there's a magical world, and there's the true world, I guess, which is the shaman one. And there's stuff to do in all of those simultaneously, which is kind of the conceit of the game, right? There was
that was how Shadowrun adventures were supposed to play out, right?
Yeah.
Like you had a Decker who was doing stuff so that.
You could open doors
in there, but you had to guard him because somebody would come in and attack. I mean, it seemed like it was sort of the same story over and over again, but it's a pretty awesome story.
Yeah. No, it was just like the idea of setting that up and then having that be in my ideal world would be a party-based sort of...
Like a multiplayer?
Yeah, you'd have your actual like team, your Shadowrun team, and each one of you would have a different role and you'd... be in the same space, but you'd like be seeing the world totally differently. And I like that would be that's the perfect way to do that is, you know, multiplayer online game. It doesn't have to be an MMO. It could still be like just a, like it could be like a Left 4 Dead style four player thing.
It would strain credulity a little bit for everyone to have to have something to do at every point in it, right? Because, well, like, I mean, you've got the rigger who just drives the car, right? Is one of the primary.
But you don't have them as one of the main classes or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it'd be cool to have a car driving part of the game. I mean, so maybe you have a car driving part, and then there, the Decker's job is to play the mini game that turns all the lights green, and then the shaman's job is
the mage's job is to sit on top and to be like a turret
in the magical world against the bad luck demons.
And the shaman is apologizing for all the pollution.
throw nails under your tires. Yeah. Magic nails.
Yep. Yeah, dude, I don't know.
Like, I could imagine that being really cool.
Sure.
As a four play, like as a Left 4 Dead kind of thing.
Yep.
You know. But it would be pretty actiony, right? I mean, because I feel like it's like, this is the first-person shooter that takes place with guns and, you know, saw blades built into your fingers and stuff in the real world. And then this is the first-person shooter that takes place in a Tron world. And then this is the first-person shooter where you're shooting magic missiles at a wizard bird. Well, I'm trying to think what is, like, what is the magical threat to you breaking into this corporation, right? Like, Sony's wizards are throwing birds at us.
instant death spells, that kind of stuff. Magical wards and
that was the thing. Like, I almost wish that there was less going on in the franchise. Like,
really?
Yeah, I do. I just don't think it needed.
It's awesome.
I don't think it needed both kinds of dwarves.
You're just a dwarf hater.
But you
hate the short people.
Why couldn't you have? Like, why couldn't there be, all right, these guys are the orcs of this mythology, but they're just guys who've been using super Sony steroids, you know, and now they're just these big hulking, menacing dudes. Why do they have to actually be fucking orcs? You know, why do
we
need?
Well, I mean, they're genetically bad humans. They're not literally another race.
They are, though.
No.
In the goblinization, like, they basically became.
They became.
At puberty, yeah.
Yeah.
Orcs.
They're humans who become quote unquote orcs at puberty because their, I don't know, their genes are fucked up or whatever.
Yeah. Super cool. And then Wasteland 2 Kickstarter is now well over $2 million.
There's another Kickstarter that I donated to the other day called I think it's called Republique. That looked fairly interesting, I think.
So it's like the French Star Wars MMO?
Well, it's being done by I don't know any of the names. Some guys that worked in the Metal Gear Solid teams and some guys from something else. But the I'm full of detailed information.
You mean somethingelse.com, yes. A popular internet website.
But the idea of the game is that it's a sort of a dark future Big Brother kind of setup, and you're protecting this woman who is rebelling against the system or whatever, but you're kind of an overseer who has control over the various electronic devices in her vicinity. So you manipulating the spy cameras and working the elevators for her and stuff.
The only way that you can see her is by moving the spy cameras around. But if you can see her, so can the enemy. Yeah. So your goal is to just never be able to see her.
But the main reason I kicked in for it is because one of the things that they offered was a fairly elaborate looking recreation of the in-game journal that is passed down from rebel to rebel with all their various notes and ticket stub inserts and
does one of the pages say rebel rebel so your face is a mess?
Ooh, I don't understand what you're referencing there, but sure, yes,
it's a song.
Okay. But yeah, I love it when the collector's edition of a thing includes actual props and things that connect you to the game world. And
yeah, you're a sucker
being
for feelies.
Yeah, I love feelies. And instead of just getting like a stupid PVC statue or something. And so I'm hoping that, that this becomes more of a trend.
Yeah, it'd be way better if the Old Republic Collector's Edition had come with a real lightsaber.
Yeah.
Then I could join that weird assassins tournament and take a lot of dumps. You take a lot more dumps than usual. Okay. Do you not realize that I am recounting the literal plot and mechanics of No More Heroes?
Oh, okay. I see. I was still thinking in Star Wars terms.
Yeah. No, there was no Assassin's Tournament in Star... Well, there probably was. But they definitely don't save by taking a dump in Star Wars. I mean, they save the Earth by taking a dump into the thing that turns your poop into sandwiches.
So, do you guys think that the Kickstarter model is going to replace or have a significant impact on the traditional publisher model?
I think probably not for most people. I think for people like us who care about video games. So basically, we want a bunch of video games to exist that the traditional publisher model does not believe would make any money.
Right.
And that's not to say that they wouldn't make any money, but they certainly wouldn't make any money for a company that had 10,000 employees.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, and so I mean, I think that there's still going to be the mainstream things that work like that.
It's fantastic for niche genres, but it's probably not going to really affect the big names.
Except for the fact that it seems like all the big names are like, oh, I so want out of this grind, this AAA grind, and I want to get into... I want to start doing indie development
again.
Well,
names,
like the auteurs.
Companies.
The auteurs are. I mean, it's... Yeah. I mean, there is no guy like that who did Skyrim, right? Like, we don't associate Skyrim with a guy who is a Tim Schafer or whatever who could say, I want to get out of this industry, right? I mean, there probably is a guy who is the creative director of that who, once he makes something else and it has his name attached to it in a meaningful way, will be like, oh, yeah, that's that guy. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's super fucking exciting for people who like games that are good, right? Like... You know, like us, people with refined taste like us, not the fucking sheeple buying the Madden games, am I right? Sheeple.
Yeah. You're going to shell.
People with refined taste like us who make jokes about unloading in a dude's face. Yeah.
Look, that wasn't a joke. You guys were making...
I was just laughing.
You were just
it was unrelated.
Being crude and insulting. Hurting my feelings is what you guys were doing, you guys. Oh. Yeah, that was some news. This week's assignment, the Molly Jam.
What would Molly do?
Mm-hmm. Played a bunch of them. I got, how many names did I write down here?
I have 6 names written down.
I have 11.
Wow, you guys.
I also have 11.
You guys
almost
outdid
none
me.
Of them are worth talking about.
Almost double.
Well, I should we just go through, like, I wrote
let's
down.
Let's go around in circles.
I wrote the name of the game, I wrote down a brief review, and then I wrote down the tweet that it was based on, because that was often the most interesting.
All right, here's what we should do.
Yeah.
Kevin, me, Riff, me, no, wait, fuck. Me, Riff, Kevin, Riff, me.
Well, since Kevin has the most information, why don't we do Kevin's list, and then if there's anything.
So the first one I played was Every Night I Dream I'm Better. Which was basically just a skeleton of a game.
I saw that one, but it sounded too depressing.
It wasn't. It was, you start off in a room, you fall asleep, I guess, and then you wake up in a field. Or, I mean, you might start in the field. I can't remember if you started in the field or in the room. And then you kill some dudes. You have like a weird short... I mean, it's like a short-range attack that looks sort of like maybe a sword swipe, but there was no sword. It was kind of strange. And you could kill... I think bunnies at first, but then pretty much anything else would kill you. But you got this like energy bar, and then you could go to a...
You mean like a cliff bar or like a...
No, like you had like a hit point bar, and then below it you had a bar that filled up that was like something. It wasn't really clear what it was. Experience maybe, I guess. And then you would occasionally wander onto a screen. Each time you crossed a screen boundary, it randomly generated a new screen. So you could just bounce back and forth between two screens to... like generate stuff until you found something that you wanted to, which was kind of like, so you like scum the screens or whatever, unless you accidentally got killed immediately. There were monsters that killed you just immediately that you had no recourse against. But if you found one of these store kiosks, you could go there and you would like upgrade. It was extremely vague as to what was going on. The little swipe thing got bigger, and it was just increasing the size of the sprite too, because it by the end of the game, it was just distorted and super pixely. Same sprite, though. It was very strange. And then when you died, you woke up in your room, but you had an object from the other world that you then would put in the room, and you just repeated this 4 times until you were done.
Until you had, like, a sweet set of encyclopedias?
No, it was like a teddy bear and then like a vase and then...
And that seems like a neat conceit.
Kind of. The door was the last thing that you got so you could leave the room.
Oh.
Yeah, it was strange. The tweet that this was based on was, visualize an open world game set in a white box. During the night you dream and can place elements from your dream into the blank world. Which I didn't feel like it really captured that at all.
Yeah, a lot of them played really fast and loose with the interpretation. With the tweets.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of them were made by people who were more into the idea of games than making games. You know, I mean, I think a lot of these were made by people who had never made a game before.
That's possible.
People who learned the tools over the course of the weekend and then made whatever they could with what they had learned.
Sure, sure. What was your first game?
The first one I played was Murdor.
Okay.
Which was... I didn't write down the tweets. It was something about what if your character was the door in this game.
Okay.
And it was really simple. It was barely even a thing. It was just a Unity thing where there's a door and everybody in this room is trying to get out of the door and you can click to flip the door open and hit the people to kill them.
All right.
It was funny.
I forgot. Last week I played that You Are the Road game, which
was
actually
great.
Pretty fun.
Yeah, that was that one. The way it looked impressed me probably the most of any of the ones that I played.
Yeah, you're just riding like the camera's moving toward you. Like there's a road running out in front of you, and there's cars moving toward the camera, and you move the mouse, and that bends the road. So you like move in a direction it will curve. You move it up, and it will make a hill going up.
Okay.
And down, vice versa, and you can throw these debris out onto the road that will knock the cars off and something. Then you can blow them up. If you can get them going fast enough on a straightaway, then you can like throw in a curve and drop a bunch of shit on it, and they'll hit it and flip and run off the side of the screen and explode.
Huh?
And it has these readouts of what kind of mood the car is in, like the car's emotional states.
Okay.
And so if it, like, you know, one will be sad because it's losing or whatever, and then like if you kill all of them but one, they get lonely.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
All right. How about you?
Oh, that. Well, there was that. I played that ADP. What did that stand for?
Oh, that was... was that the Shadowland prophecy?
The Shadowland prophecy?
Oh,
yeah.
Wait. No, what was ADP, though?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's what it said on the top of the screen when...
Oh.
When you played that game.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
shouldn't spoil that one.
Yeah, that was the one with the, where it's like if the title screen was as emotional as the ending cutscene. Yeah, so... that one was pretty good.
That was definitely my favorite of the ones I played.
I played two of the Imagine That You're a Pigeon trying to stop businessmen from committing suicide by retrieving items from their homes. And they were both, it seemed like the central gameplay mechanic that occurs to somebody when they're making a game with that description is this thing should be super fucking hard to control. It was like, in one, you couldn't stop moving and you, could only land on brightly colored buildings. Like there, you were on these weird like retouched photographs that had been turned into the levels, but some of the buildings were colored and you could only land on the colored stuff. And then these little guys would pop up with meters. One of them was really cool. The one that's called When Doves Cry, the controls were difficult, but like the guys, you'd run up to a guy that was a specific color of pixels and he would say something that would then tie into what the object was that you got when you found his window, which was the same color,
right?
In the level, and you'd pick it up and kind of struggle under the weight of it and take it back to him before the little timer ran out. And he would say something when he died. He would say something when you brought it back to him, and it just like, you know, just told all these little sort of sad stories of like why the guy wanted to kill himself.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, it was neat, but it was super fucking hard to control the bird. It was like it had just like sort of joust-ish controls, but yeah, I don't know.
I played a game called Marco. It was like, I guess, another Unity game. It was basically just a maze with like an audio cue to tell you how to get through the maze. It was pretty dark, and so you're like, I'm wandering through this maze, and like I wandered into this dark corner, and like there was a soldier that turned around with like a really kind of creepy audio cue, and that freaked me out. But otherwise, the game was pretty boring. I was just literally wandering around this maze that could have been like a hedge maze or whatever, and then like I got to the end, and the game was over. The Molyneux tweet was FPS war game. You control the teddy bear of a child who has just escaped a death camp. Help them find their mother using your wits. Which I just feel like it didn't like it didn't even understand the basic premise of that tweet, which was that you were the teddy bear, not the child, because you were just wandering around as the kid in this maze. So it was just dumb. I played a game called You Are a Spy and the World is Transparent, which was this.
I looked at that one and couldn't figure out how to even play it.
Baffling game. It reminded me of like a Goonies level in terms of like a side scrolling thing where there were like ladders and like sort of like a maze of rooms and stuff like that. You moved along, there were other people on the map. And if you stood in one place too long, they might shoot a little like red laser at you. And your only verb in the game, besides being able to move around, was to like drop these beacons. And if they stayed around and didn't get blown up by the other dudes, they like started filling up a power bar. And at some point, some sort of power meter or whatever. And at some point, I had enough of them down that I won, but I had no idea what I was doing the entire time. It was so baffling.
These games were extremely light on, like, instructions or scrutability.
Yeah, when I won, it said, yet you can hide. And I was like, okay, because you are a spy and the world is transparent. And the tweet was, imagine being a spy in a game where, in a game world where the entire environment is transparent so you can't hide. I played I Hate Romans, which was a super simple game. It's you're a giant cyclops and there's a bunch of small Romans around firing arrows at you, and you move the mouse around and it like moves your arms around to block the arrows or to clear the arrows out of you if you have been hit by arrows. And that was it. It was like there were four different states and you just moved between them by moving the mouse around, and that was the entire game. There was like, I think it probably just went on forever. Like there was no kind of win.
Did it get harder over time?
No. Okay. The Molyneux tweet was, why are there always massive monster bosses in modern games? Would it not be so refreshing to have to fight a very cunning ant? Yeah. So,
Let's see. Did any of you play Secret Dad?
Nope.
That was a pretty good one. It was impressive because apparently the team was like a couple of guys who were writing it and didn't really know anything about making games, and then the programmers and artists, and all the programmers and artists left early, leaving this game unmade. So it was just entirely made by these two guys that know nothing at all about making a game. But the concept was that you're a father of a family, and the wife has divorced you, but you still want to help your wife and kids because you still love them. So you're sneaking around in the ventilation ducts. doing chores and helping them with the various problems while they can't see you.
Interesting.
So sort of a stealth action, father story.
There was a movie that I watched recently that there was like a relationship that was in trouble, and I think it was Steve Carell. I don't remember. And he would like go there late at night and do like yard work while they were all sleeping.
Yeah, it was that kind of thing. That was cute. There was also one. There was one called Black and Rice 2: Battle of the Gods.
Okay.
Which the idea was is you had. It started out just a simple like square platform, but as you advanced from level to level, the platforms became different shapes, and then there are platforms over other platforms and so forth in this 3D space. And so you're hovering above this 3D space, and you have a rice ball, and you're choosing where to drop the rice ball so that when it hits the surface and explodes into rice, the fewest number of grains possible will fall off of the platforms.
Okay.
And that was it.
Huh.
Apparently there was some kind of weird story, but it didn't make any sense.
All right.
I played one called Distortia.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah.
That was one of my favorites.
The tweet is, what if you had the power to distort? What if you had the power to distort reflections? Hmm. And so it was just like a thing that was emitting some light, and then you could move around these distortions, which were just these circles. And if the light hit it head on, it would split it into red, green, and blue beams. And if the light didn't go through the center of it, it would bend it around them, sort of like gravity. It was very much like that, what's that auditorium game? Where all the particles are flying out of something and you're trying to get them into filling up these shapes.
Oh, okay.
It's very, you know, or like a more abstract version of that
iPhone game that came out fairly early with all the drops.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, what was
Enigma?
It called? Enigma. Enigma, yeah. It was like one of the very first iPhone games that I remember hearing anything about. And it was like $5 or $10 to buy, too. It was like before they really figured out the pricing on those.
I enjoyed that. Like, the puzzles were hard.
Yeah, I mean, I got a feel for how it worked, and then I kind of gave, like, it got to where I just wasn't really interested in the precision.
If you beat the last level, nothing happens. You get to the end of the 12th level, and you satisfy the win condition, and it just stays there.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing.
It was a fine game, though. I mean,
it was a good mechanic.
You'd see that game somewhere and be like, yep, that's a video game.
Yeah, it was of the games that I played. I feel like that one was one of the most sort of complete, and it was, you know, it had to, except for the distorting and the reflections thing, it like captured the sense of the tweet pretty well, I feel like.
I played another game called Eye of the Babe Holder, which is about you're like a baby. I forget the tweet. It was like you can only see what you can see from inside your perambulator, and you have to carefully study your mother's facial expression. And it said when you started it was like, sorry, this game just isn't finished at all. And it's like you see this sort of person, and she says, there's a woman's voice that's just saying 10, 9, 8, 7, and I don't know what that means. It didn't seem to do anything when she got to the bottom. And you had like a sort of meter that you would run out by either clicking on a bottle, which would then cause you to drink it, and then you had buttons for to laugh, to spit out your pacifier, and to poop. And so those were the things that
those
you
are
could
your
do.
Verbs.
Yeah, and then the mother's face had these sort of grotesque, it was like pictures of eyes and mouths from magazines that would move around on a woman to change her facial expression or whatever. And I don't know, like, I couldn't figure out any correspondence between anything and anything else in the game, but it was creepy.
Wow. I played a game called Gap, which was kind of interesting. You were a figure, ostensibly a child, made out of bricks. You were kind of like this cloud of floating bricks or whatever, and you would pick one up, and it was like a memory from your from your youth, basically, from your really young age, and then you would drop them into holes to try to figure out a way to then be able to click on the guy, and he would like try to traverse the space. It was not a great game, but it was definitely sort of interesting. And the tweet that it was based on was, your child is made of Lego, and you have to detach bricks to make bridges, etc. You need to keep adding bricks to stop him getting depressed. I played the Spandex Parable, which was one of the best ones. It was a platformer, and the level design was pretty good, and there was this like well-recorded and sort of well-written narration. And then there's a bit of a twist. I don't know if you want me to spoil it for you. But the tweet is, you know, what if the aim of the game was to resist actually completing it? That kept me up all night yesterday. And it was good. I played through it several times to try to like understand it.
And what's that one called? The Spandex Parable.
Okay. Yeah, that was definitely probably the best of them that I played, besides maybe Shadowland Prophecy.
Did either of you play Unbearable, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bear?
Yes.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that one.
That was on the Chris Remo's team. That was pretty good.
I had a hard time figuring out how the hugging worked.
The interface was weird, but once I got it, it became not so bad. And then I could just I got to the point where I could pretty much always hug people and not kill
really?
Them.
I never got to that point. I feel like the awkwardness of the control was part of the point, though.
Yeah. Well, you're a giant bear wandering around. It was just the hardest part was like wandering around and actually getting in front of somebody, but yeah, I got pretty good at where I had plenty of oxygen and I wasn't in.
I never really saw where the oxygen meter was. I just died
the bear,
after a while.
Hash marks, his face.
Yeah, he turns blue and it's hash marks.
You get like pink hash marks if you've got plenty of extra air.
Oh, okay.
But you can hug them until they like, so they're like all scared because you're a bear, and then you hug them, and then you've got this like a half a second maybe where they're smiling, and then if you keep hugging them, they die.
Yeah.
So you have like, as soon as they're, so like it's basically just the mouse. If you have it up, your hands are wide, and if you bring it down, then you hug. And so you have to like sort of get near them and then just barely hug them, and then they like
barely.
Yeah. And then they smile.
It's funny. The game is simultaneously first, second, and third person. Yeah, which is like, isn't he gimmick?
And then at the end, it gives you the little bios of all the people that you encountered.
Yeah.
I accidentally clicked through that too fast, and
you are a bear, but for some reason your oxygen comes from hugging people. Problem is that hugging people breaks their bones. Hashtag poetic gaming.
That was probably the only the last of the particularly interesting ones I played. There is one called The Krugger, in which you're a gummy bear bouncing around a field of crabs, and the crabs become angry. They get little angry faces over their heads, and if they become too angry, they start attacking each other. So you have to run up to them and hug them so that they get happy faces again before they all get killed.
Are you sure that wasn't Cuddle Pit?
Nope. I'm pretty sure it was The Krugger because it was The Crab Hugger.
You know, one thing that I will say,
I think Cuddle Pit must have been based on the same tweet, though. Imagine you're in a world where all anyone can do is hurt each other. You, on the other hand, your only ability is to hug those around you. Okay. Yeah. So, because that's exactly the way that Cuddle Pit played out.
More often than not, when I moused over one of the games in that game list, the pop-up that it gave me was from a different one of the games. Yeah. That is probably the worst website. Yeah.
Did you try to search on the website?
Terrible.
I didn't.
It just reloads the page.
Yeah. I imagined. I imagined like trying to sort by something wouldn't work either.
Yeah.
And like you'd go in and only some of the games told you what platforms they were for. So a lot of the times I would download them and then it was just like some app file that I assume was for a Mac.
Yep.
You'd have to download some of the games were fucking web games, but you had to download them anyway.
Yep.
And all of them were game.zip. Like
all of them, but most of them.
But yeah, man. Yeah.
I would have played a lot more of them if there had been any way to tell what.
Oh yeah, I would have played all of the web playable ones if there was a list of just the web playable ones. Like,
sure.
I kind of want to make those guys a website.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody just did not have the. I don't think anybody sat down and went through and played them and tried to catalog what platform. You know, it would require 4 hours of somebody's time to deal with it.
Would have required the submission form to send them the game to say what platform this is.
Yeah. These Zombies Can Suck It was another game that I played.
Yeah, I played that one.
It was pretty good, actually. It was pretty hard, but it required some like strategy. I felt like it was a game that I played a couple times and got better at playing through it several times. But it was the idea. The tweet was, what if you lived in a world where all guns required to be plugged into wall sockets? Now that would be a tactical shooter, wouldn't it? And it was. It was pretty hard because you couldn't let yourself get cornered by the zombies, and the sockets only had a limited amount of power. So you,
I felt like it was the fact that it was a turret that you were plugging in and not a handgun made it. I feel a little bit, although I mean, otherwise the control issues would have been
pretty rough.
Would have been pretty rough. But yeah.
I thought it was pretty interesting because I definitely felt like I had agency, and I like. You had to like distract the zombies so that the turret could fire at them, and then the zombies wouldn't attack the turret, but you couldn't let them corner you because they would kill you.
Yeah, and it seemed like the sockets blew out after a little while too.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. That was basically all the ones I played. I think
I played one called Dulcis Ex Machina, which was from that tweet that like, would it be any fun to play as a vending machine?
No.
Well, so it was like pixel art, but the way that the game ran, it was blown up and scaled to just be this blurry, horrible looking mess. And there was a vending machine in the top of the screen, but it was not at all clear that was you. And you just had like three different sorts of beams that you could shoot at people by selecting the beam and then clicking on them. And one of them was a hunger beam, and one of them was something else that I don't remember what it was. And then one of them was the death beam, which was just like, it said in the instructions, useless. Don't shoot the death beam at anyone. And it would just kill them. But if they went to the hunger beam would make them run to the snack machine and get some sweets. But then if they ate too many sweets, they would die of diabetes.
Okay.
But I don't know that there wasn't like a score or anything. It was really confusing. And then I played Last Blood, which was I think it was a Flash game, actually, where it was like you were Rambo, but you couldn't get into heaven until you hugged.
Oh, I tried to play that one, but I couldn't.
Until you went back
work.
As a ghost and hugged all the people that you killed. And so it was just sort of this really squishy maze game where you'd like click and then he would move toward it, but the collision boxes on the walls didn't correspond with where the walls were very well, and so it was like just really weird and squishy to move around. And then you would find these dudes, like this guy with like a ski mask and a camo shirt and a gun strapped to his back. The pixel art was pretty cool. Mm. The environments were just like a really boring white and gray maze. But so then it would move to this hugging mini game where you were sitting there and the guy, the terrorist guy, would like sort of move around on his own and you'd push a button which would start this hug process that took a few seconds. But I never managed to successfully hug one of the guys. So then they all just like, they just die. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it was... super weird. So I don't know. I didn't try. I guess you go around hugging dudes and then you go back to see if you can get into Valhalla.
Huh.
Yeah. So, you know.
I got to imagine Rambo would go to Valhalla, not a regular heaven.
Yeah. Probably. Oh, boy.
So that was the Molly Jam.
Yeah.
2012.
All right. What is our next assignment, fellas? Let's play one game.
That'll be a new twist. So the next week, we are going to play Amnesia. The Dark Descent.
Did we? I guess we didn't. I was just wondering if I feel like we've played that one.
You've
but
talked
maybe
about
it. Was
it.
Just me.
You have talked about it okay. on the podcast.
I never
before.
Finished it.
Yeah. No, me neither.
I got to the water part and was too scared.
Yeah. I got to the prison and I'm not sure I want to play any more of it. But
I'm just going to make myself do it. I mean, I think it'll be good.
It's by the Chinese Room, which same people that did
Dear Esther.
Dear Esther. So
wait, was it? No, it was different guys.
Oh, sorry. They're doing
they teamed
the
up with the Dear Esther guys to do the sequel, which is called A Machine for Pigs.
Yes. Sorry.
It's like Nine Inch Nails video, the video game.
It's available on Windows, Mac, and Linux. Survival horror game. It sounds like it is actually really terrifying.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Yeah. It was horrifying. I don't think it is anymore. It was on sale in the Mac App Store for like $4, $5.
Yeah. It can't be that much more than that.
It's like 15.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's worth it. I'm glad that we're doing this as an assignment because it will make me play the whole thing because there's no reason that I shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little worried because I tend to get kind of freaked out easily. But
put some.
Yeah, this is going to
load
be
up.
Like,
load up some Powerpuff Girls in a YouTube window on the other
on
monitor.
The side.
Yeah.
No way. Just deal with it. Just work out your demons via this game's demons.
The when was it? I don't know. I don't think it was when Portal 2 came out. When was it that they did all that Portal 2 bonus stuff from other video games?
That was right before Portal 2 came out.
Was it right before Portal 2? Because they did
it was like an early release of Portal 2 if people played enough of these games and found enough of the potatoes.
They did one for Amnesia that was actually pretty cool. It was a lot. It was basically the plot concept of Portal but translated into the Amnesia universe. So you found like these phonographs that had the scratchy record playing of the woman that runs this institution talking at you and you having to find your way through these oddly placed tunnels and climbing sections and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. It was still pretty scary, but it had a little bit more of that funny Portal tone. So it wasn't as bad as the main game in that regard.
Well, that was the assignment. So we'll see you all in the depths of the horror that is Amnesia: The Dark Descent. This is Ascent to the Beyond the Beneath. Yeah. I got all this listener's mail, but I think I'm going to save it for next time.
When we don't have such
isn't that what we've said for the last few times?
I mean, this time we have had multiple games to talk about every week for a while.
Yeah, we had a really long WYBP today. That stands for Pretty Young Thing.
Oh, okay.
So Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a listener's mail, how would they do that?
They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com, or they could website us, VideoGamesHotDog.com, which has a link to our forums.
Cool. All right. Well, this has been a fun episode of Video Games Hot Dog for me, guys. I don't know about you. You didn't seem to really be feeling it.
You know, it's one of those things.
Well, maybe next week will be better for you and for you, the listeners. Thanks for listening to Video Games Hot Dog.
Have a great week, everybody.
Good night.
You just sort of live with it, you know. If you're a high horse 69, then you know you just got to get off that thing.
Spick nasty MF.
Yeah, spick nasty. Good old spick nasty MF. Boy. High Horse 69. Was that like about weed? It was like a
High Horse 69?
Yeah. Is the horse high because he's
don't know.
Smoked some horse weed
out of another horse's butthole?
Yeah. Well, they at the same time.
Simul-smoking.
Yeah, so that's the thing. They both ate a bunch of marijuana and then they poop into each other's pipes. Simultaneous horse poop pipe.
Wow.
That's great.
That should be your next character name.
Simultaneous horse poop pipe. It's hard to say.